101.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Tuesday. God bless you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are in the book of Acts here today on WGOD. We're tuning into God's frequency here this morning. Or this afternoon, maybe you're tuned in at 5:30. Regardless of the time, I thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday. For the next 30 minutes, we're tuning into WGOD. God's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. It's going to come out of the book of Acts and the fourth chapter here today. No other name is the name of this sermon. We've been following the early days of the church, and the lead preacher has been the Apostle Peter. And ever since the day of Pentecost, this is going to be like the third sermon now. Now, today, the apostles are going to be arrested for talking about Jesus. That's where we're going to be in a moment. In the meantime, I invite you guys to church here this week. My associate pastor, Darren Solon, is teaching this week, as he is on Wednesday nights. He's in the book of Philippians, and that'll be 6 o'clock Wednesday night. You are invited. We're in chapter 2 or so of Philippians. Now, Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. I encourage and invite you guys to get to church on a Wednesday night. Get the Word of God in you. It'll certainly help you get through the week, and Lord wants to help you and minister to you. And as we read early on in the study here, the Lord added to the church daily those that are being saved, and not to the couch, but to the church. And when you come to God's house and sit under his word, I'll tell you what, he does miraculous things, and you'll find out that all of your troubles and all of your problems just melt away when you get alone with God in his house. Read Psalm 73 as well. Okay, no other name. This is maybe the most, other than John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That comes from Acts chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. No other name. That's where we're at here today. We have one visitor, at least from the radio today. You know, the radio brings a lot of people here into Island. And a few weeks ago, I was preaching here, and I made the comment that what the Lord said, he said, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut. And I made the comment in here to all of you that this makes me want to pray more. This makes me want to give more. And it makes me want to buy more time on the radio. So the very next day, the Lord said to me, I guess in my spirit at least, he said, okay, I'll take you up on that. So starting the 12th of April, we'll start in Philadelphia, and we'll start in Asheville, North Carolina. So Sunday mornings from 8 to 8:30, and the Asheville will be Tuesday evenings from, I think, 7:30 to 8 or 7 to 7:30 in the morning. I'm excited about that. 6 million people, so that's 12 million ears in Philadelphia. And over 1 million, I think, in Asheville. So I'm really excited for to see what the Lord's going to do with that. Now we're up to Acts chapter 4 here this morning. And today we're going to see that preaching the gospel, we're going to see today, has consequences for them and for us as well, to a certain extent. Now we left off with the Apostle Peter's second sermon and convicting them again of having a part to play in the killing of the Son of God. We read in Acts 3:14, Peter said, "But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life." Imagine that old bony finger going at them and said, You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, of which we're all eyewitnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So there's some great truths right there that we learned, right? Number one, we all had a part in crucifying the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Look, somebody has to die, be it you or a substitute. Someone has to die. Enter in the Son of God, who took your place and died in your place. Also, we see that the name of Jesus heals people if we have faith in his name. Otherwise, everyone would be healed, right? He said it's by the name of Jesus he's been made strong, but you still have to have faith in his name. Otherwise, you missed a tremendous blessing. That's why he says, all day long I've stretched out my arms to a disobedient and obstinate people. Receive the Lord here today. So the name of Jesus heals people if we have faith in his name. Number three, what's required of us? Same thing he said in the last chapter. He said, repent and be baptized in chapter 2. In chapter 3, he says, repent and be converted, which means to turn from. That is, turn from yourself and turn to him. We ought to be like Count Dracula, and that is we cast no reflection in the mirror. Turn to him, epistrepho, to turn inward. Turn to him. Now, as we're going to see here, a message like this will get you in trouble with unbelievers. A conversation like this will get you in trouble with unbelievers. Be it governmental unbelievers or religious unbelievers or any old unbelievers. Now, we're in Acts chapter 4. Let's start it from the top. Acts chapter 4, right from the top. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now, naturally, the religious leaders are the ones who had the problem. Not the people, but the religious leaders. These guys were the only ones that Jesus was ever angry with. Listen to this text from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. As a matter of fact, let's turn there. Keep a finger here. Flip on back to the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3 and verse 1. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Here we go. Now he entered, he being Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. So heaven forbid, he might do something nice for someone on a Saturday. Right? We can't have that, right? By the way, there are so-called churches out here today that won't lift a finger to help someone on a Saturday. Not just them, because it's Saturday. And they're kind of scared to go outside on Saturday. Verse 3, so he says to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath, or let's say, is it lawful on Saturday to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they kept silent. You see, when you feel this way, you've missed it. You've missed the essence of true Christianity. It's to love on people, even on Saturdays. Right? Look, the Apostle Paul said, love does no harm to a neighbor. When do you not love someone on Saturday? Or move that here into the New Testament on Sunday? We're here on Sunday. You've missed it. Now, as a result of this attitude, now check out verse 5 here. So when he looked around at them with anger, now imagine that, Jesus being angry. He was only angry at one group of people, the religious leaders. And naturally, of course, those that were hawking stuff there at the temple. Not at the people. It's the religious leaders he got angry with, not at the people. So when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved, so those are his two feelings and attributes here now, angry and he's grieved. Because these guys had a problem with him going out here and doing something nice to someone on a Saturday. When you feel that way, you've missed it. You've missed it. So when he looked around at them at anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out, and he immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. So this is where this kind of stuff, this Jesus derangement syndrome started from. Hey, it starts with him. We see it today here with people that are out of their ever-loving minds, full of hate. Started with the Lord, though. You want to destroy him because he did something nice on a Saturday. I think you've had help if you arrived at that decision. Someone demonic has helped you here. Who does this kind of thing? Right, Satan. You know, I've come to the understanding, you might not like this comment too much, maybe you will, but Jesus didn't care too much for a religion. He cared about worship. And he cared about knowing the one true God. Not about religion. You guys take that the right way, right? It's not about keeping rules and religion. Look at what's happened in the name of religion for 2,000 years. Look how many millions of people have been killed in the name of religion, all depending on who's ruling. A Protestant or a Catholic on any given day. Elect someone new, you kill all the people. Elect someone new, then you kill all those people. He doesn't care for that. He cares about worship and worship of the man in the glory and about knowing the one true God. That was his prayer for us, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, back to Acts chapter 4. Again, starting at the top. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, they're sad, you see. Always sad, right?
Their face just must be chiseled like that. Get this nasty old scowl on their face, always unhappy, miserable. You're upset because God loves you. You're upset because the Son of God's out here doing good to people. And that's enough to make anyone furious, right? Jesus got killed for that message. This helps us get a better understanding of any kind of derangement syndrome out here, whether it's Trump or Jesus. You got to peel back the layers here and understand, expose the enemy and where it's coming from. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, they came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they, A, taught the people, and two, preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So there's the third thing that they're upset with, at Peter and John for telling people that death is not the end. Death is not the end. That if you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that death will have no hold over you. That's what they're upset. That's the third thing they're upset at here. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death and the grave, right? So just some 50 odd days earlier, Jesus rose from the dead. These guys were eyewitnesses to the fact, and they're out here on the streets spreading the word. So they're greatly disturbed about the teaching that death is not the end. Now let's go back once again. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it to you. Of Jesus' teachings to these, again, religious leaders. Those were the ones he has the problem with. So Jesus told the religious leaders, these resurrection deniers, he said, you err not knowing the scriptures. Or we could say, you're wrong because you don't even know your Bible, is what he says to them. You're wrong because you don't even know the word of God. Then he says, haven't you read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. So yes, the multitudes were astonished, but the religious leaders were steaming. And as we read earlier, they're seeking ways to destroy him now. These guys had a religion of man-made rules. And Jesus upset that apple cart. Acts chapter 4, verse 3. They laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, that is in spite of these religious leaders. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So we've gone from 120 in the upper room to 3,000 being saved on the day of Pentecost. Then we got to 4,000. Now we see 5,000 people now in the church. So the religious leaders hated Peter and John and all the Christ followers. The Apostle Paul calls the Jews of the day, remember, and ours, he said, concerning the gospel, they are enemies. But concerning election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You might not see it yet, but God's got a plan for them. But as of now, the nation of Israel is your enemies. They were Paul's greatest enemy and thorn in his side. So the religious leaders hated Peter and John. Reminds me of what Jesus told them in John 15, 18. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So the world does hate you, right? We're building on that. We're assuming that that's a fact, Jack. The world does hate you, right? Stand up for God, and it will. I promise you that. Stand up for traditional marriage, and this world will hate you. I promise you that. Matter of fact, the world will despise you. It's really easy to get this word, world to hate you. Stand up for the word of God. To get up and say, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, not a woman and her cat. Now, that makes people upset. Stand up for the word of God, and the world will hate you. Hold it a truth that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, and this world will hate you. Matter of fact, they'll despise you. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hold to that, and this world will hate you. Now, Pastor Rick Warren got invited to do the invocation for Barack Obama. What does that tell you? The day they invite me to do that, please come, Lord, and take me home. Because my work here on this earth is done. Because when that happens, my usefulness has ended. Because Jesus said, if you stick and stand to the word of God, the world's going to hate you. So my question is, does the world hate you? Or is it just me? And I know that's not the truth. I stand with God. How about you? Now, King Solomon said this in Psalms, in Proverbs 14. He said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That proverb, by the way, is still true today. Let me read it again in case you guys didn't hear that. Danny, do we need to turn my mic up? Should we blast everyone out on the radio? Righteousness exalts a nation. Where his father David wrote, I think it's Psalm 33, verse 12. How does that go again? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. 3,000 years old. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's where I stand. And if this is where you stand, then you, my point is, you stand right alongside Peter and John in today's text. They're not alone. We all stand with them. You try to get along, but there's a point where you just won't go beyond, right? If you have no spiritual scruples, then you're no friend of God's. Don't be deceived. If you have no spiritual scruples, then you're no friend of God's. Where's that in the Bible, Esposito? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. That would be in James chapter 4, verse 4, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Whoever makes himself a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's not where you want to be sitting on this 21st day of March. Now let's see what happens next to these guys. Verse 5. We sing that song. We haven't sung it in a while, but I love the song. I am a friend of God. He knows my name, right? I am a friend of God. Stand with God, stand on his word, and you indeed are a friend of God, the same as Abraham was. Simple enough, right? Stand with God. Believe God at his word. Believe, hold, believe, receive, understand that the word of God is true. Believe the Apostle Paul who says, let God be true and every man a liar. This is where we stand, right? This is where we stand. This is why God's doing such a great work in Island Community Church, is because this is where we stand and we don't compromise. That's why. That is why you see everything that you see here at this church. This little church used to have eight or ten people in it. Look around now. Thank God for every one of you. And you guys are here. Well, we're praising him. So you guys, don't be deceived. You're not here because of me. I'm just crazy. We'll get to the reasons why I'm crazy here coming up in a few minutes. I actually have a reason for why I'm crazy. That's coming up. Now let's see what happens next to these guys. We're in Acts. We're in chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Now it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So not only are the religious leaders, but also, as Fred Flintstone would call him, the Grand Poobah is here as well. Or Jackie Gleason would call him the Grand High Exalted Mystic Ruler. Verse 7. So when they had set them in their midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, catch what it says. What's it say next? Filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, here we go again. Here comes sermon number 3 now. And both barrels, you got to love this fisherman. Both barrels, Simon Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, then let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified," there, that's the third time now, he's taking this right to the gut, right to the heart. "By the name of Jesus, who you guys killed, whom God raised up from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Now he'll throw in Psalm 118, verse 22. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Verse 12, maybe the greatest verse in all of the Word of God. Verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name." There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I think that's the greatest verse in all the Bible. Nor is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. For all of us human beings here on earth, under heaven, that's everyone, everywhere. There is no other name other than the name of Jesus. There is no other way to get to heaven, only through the Son of God. There's no other name. There's no other person. There's just him and him alone. It's Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. He said himself in John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, "I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved." Jesus rules. Look, write it down. All other religions are false. I don't even like the word religion. Only Jesus offers you a relationship, not a religion, where God is your Father. He's your Father. It's a relationship, not a religion. It's a relationship where you can call Almighty Jehovah, you can call him Father. Lord, teach us to pray. What does he say?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.